everyone. Let's fix our camera, shall we? Hey, welcome. Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and this is our morning devotional time in the Psalms, and it is good to be with you this morning on this Friday morning. I hope you're doing well this morning. Hope you're having a blessed start to your day. We are going to be looking at Psalm 117 this morning. Of course, we did Psalm 116 a little while ago in memory of Bonnie Bruff when the Lord took her home. And so this morning we're doing Psalm 117. And Psalm 117, some interesting facts about it. It's the shortest psalm, just two verses. It is the central chapter of the Bible. Now this, you got to take this with a little grain of salt because the chapter divisions of the Bible are not divinely inspired. But of course, like everything, they are supervised by divine providence. And so, even though the original manuscripts as inspired by God didn't have chapter divisions, we believe God is sovereign over all things, and so the chapter divisions have been in place for hundreds and hundreds of years. And Psalm 117 is the central most chapter of the Bible. So if you were to start at Genesis 1, Revelation 22, and sort of work your way into the middle chapter of the whole Bible would be Psalm 117. It is, by that measure, the shortest chapter in the Bible, too. Although I don't really like thinking about Psalms as being chapters because it's not like they're chapters in book, they're Psalms, right? They're individual songs. So it's a very short Psalm. It's a very short song. This is also maybe a little bit of a rebuke to those of us who don't like it when we go to a church and they have a really short praise chorus and they sing it over and over and over again, because this is probably the way this was sung in ancient Israel. It's really short and it was probably sung over and over and over again. But it's a great psalm. It is, unlike some of those songs that are rather trite and fluffy theologically, this one packs a punch. And I like to think of it as the great commission of the Psalms. And we'll see why as we read it here in a minute. But first, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for gathering us together again on this Friday morning. We pray that you would bless us as we look at Psalm 117 together this morning. We pray that you would write its word, its truth, its power on our hearts. Father, that you would transform us by it. Give us a renewed vision for your glory and your worship among the nations. And so, Father, speak to us this morning through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And that's it. That's the whole psalm right there. It's a hallelujah psalm. It begins and ends with hallelujah, praise the Lord, like a number of psalms. And it is a call to all nations to praise the Lord and for all peoples to extol him. It's also kind of a classic example of Hebrew parallelism in poetry. Hebrew poetry is not marked by rhyming of sound, but rather rhyming of thoughts, rhyming of ideas, rhyming of truth. In other words, it's parallelism. Each verse, typically in Hebrew poetry, each verse is two lines, and those two lines speak to the same idea. Sometimes they just repeat that idea. Sometimes they expand that idea. Sometimes they show by way of contrast. The Proverbs work this way in that Proverbs are kind of single line or single verse, little mini poems, or little single verse things to memorize and recite and teach others. But you see this, verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. This is the call to worship. All nations, all peoples. And this is why I call it the Great Commission of the Psalms. John Piper's wonderful book on missions, Let the Nations Be Glad, begins with a statement that missions are not the ultimate thing. which may be a surprising way to open a book on missions, but he says, missions are not the ultimate thing, worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't, right? So when I go over to northern Uganda to partner together with Reaching Africa's Unreached to teach and train pastors and future church leaders for the church in Sudan and South Sudan, the heartbeat of why I go is that I want to see the name of Jesus praised among every people group in Sudan. And in the Nuba Mountains area, there are a large number of isolated people groups, many of whom do not know the gospel, have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He is not being worshipped. There's language after language, people group after people group, where Jesus is not being worshipped. And then throughout the northern part of Sudan, there are many, many places where Jesus is not being worshipped. And so that's my heartbeat of why I go over, is to make sure that Jesus will be worshipped and worshipped rightly, so that when churches are planted and the worship of Jesus begins, it will be sound and biblical, faithful to his word, glorifying to his name. But this is the call. Praise him, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Someone once said that the New Testament Great Commission is go and tell, or go and make disciples. And in the Old Testament form, it is come and see, or come and worship. And so this one isn't explicitly saying come, but there is this idea that it would be at the temple in Jerusalem where the nations were supposed to gather to worship God. This is why Jesus got so upset with the money changers and the animal sellers in the temple in his day, because they had taken what God had called a house of prayer for all nations. God had called it a house of prayer for all nations, and they had turned it into a den of robbers. And so this is a call to all nations and all peoples. Why should all people and all nations worship God? Well, the reason is this glorious reason that we've seen so much throughout the Psalms. For great is his steadfast love. Great is his chesed toward us. His covenant, faithful, loyal love toward us. His chesed is great toward us. It's great toward us. God is not miserly. Sometimes I think Christians labor under this misconception that somehow God is stingy with his love, or reluctant with his love, or has to sort of be arm twisted into giving us a few crumbs off the edge of the table. That is not our God. That is not the covenant Lord God Almighty of the Bible. He is great in his steadfast love toward us. He's abundant in his love. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And sometimes suffering comes into our lives and we question that. I've got some friends who are suffering right now in intense ways. I have a friend who lost his sister. I have a friend whose daughter is dying. I have a friend who lost their son. And the world is full of heavy and sad things. And these are the people of God. These are the people of God. And yet great is his love toward them, because he loves them more than they can know, more than we could ever know. And here we are. We are called to worship God. We're called to enjoy God. We're called to abide in his presence because of his steadfast love. And always sort of in partnership with his steadfast love in scripture, in the Psalms in particular, is the faithfulness of the Lord. And that means he keeps his promises. He doesn't ever waver from doing what he's committed to do. So his love toward us, his mercy, his steadfast love, his covenant loyal love, his chesed is great. And his faithfulness, his unchanging commitment to keep his promises and never waver, endures forever. Praise the Lord. Also notice that God is called the Lord here three times. Three times is the number of God, right? The triune God. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Yahweh. I am who I am. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who changes not. The one who is self-sufficient. This is our God. And we are to praise him, and we are to call all peoples to praise him. Let's see how this gets carried over in the New Testament. Like I said, it's the Great Commission of the Psalms. And so let's look briefly at the Great Commission. which is found in this form in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, the very end of Matthew's gospel. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Even there, there's a reminder that Judas Iscariot had betrayed the Lord. So we do live in a fallen world and a sad world. But God's goodness and God's faithfulness are unfailing. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if we were to ask the question, how is it that all nations are going to praise the Lord? How is it that all peoples are going to extol him for his great steadfast love and for his forever enduring faithfulness? How is it that the people are going to do this? It's going to come as we go and as we make disciples of all nations, as we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which brings them into the church, begins the process of discipleship, and then we teach them to observe all that we have commanded them. And behold, Jesus says he'll be with us always to the end of the age by his Holy Spirit. So this is how Psalm 117 is going to be carried out. This is our great commission. And too many times the church has treated the Great Commission as an optional footnote to the Christian life. And so we talk about all sorts of other things. We talk about buildings and programs. We talk about politics and social action. We talk about family matters and things like that, which is all, every one of those things has their place within God's kingdom. But the Great Commission is to see Psalm 117 fulfilled, that all nations and all peoples would praise the Lord and extol him for the greatness of his steadfast love and for the forever endurance of his faithfulness, that they would praise the Lord. And Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and he's with us always to the end of the age. And we have a wonderful promise here, that Jesus is with us till the end of the age. Not only that, but that Jesus will fulfill his great commission. And to see the fulfillment of the great commission, let's jump ahead to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, we are given a peek into the throne room of heaven and the worship around the throne room of God. And here's what we read in Revelation 5, verses 6 through 9. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing." I actually think that word "between," the better way to translate that, as other translations make it, is "in the midst of the throne." So in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. This is a way of letting us know that this lamb is God. So the lamb who is God has been slain. And notice that the spirits of God are going out into all the earth. "And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" Amen. So this worship scene around the throne, the 24 elders here are representing the people of God. They're representative of 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb. 24 is the complete people of God, Old and New Testament, one church, one people of God brought together and we're worshiping God for how worthy the Lamb is. Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? Because he was slain. And by his blood, the blood of the covenant, he ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And he's made us a kingdom and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. One more passage, Revelation 7. Another great picture of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, of the fulfillment of Psalm 117. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. The people of God. God told Abraham, I'll make your descendants more than the grains of sand on the seashore, more than the stars in the sky. There is a great multitude that no one could number. So in Revelation 5, we see just the 24 elders. But in Revelation 7, we see the whole multitude of the people of God, so great that no one can number it. And where do they come from? From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches on their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, that's so powerful, that picture of worship. I can't wait to be part of that worship gathering around the throne. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And now, our call, back to Psalm 117, our call is to take this good news of salvation, that salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. We need to take this call to the nations, to the peoples. We need to invite them. Praise the Lord with us. Extol him with us. Do you understand how great his steadfast love is? Do you see that the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever? For he has purchased us with his own blood. He has made us his own people. Glory be to his name forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are so powerful. You are so right and holy and loving and faithful, compassionate, saving. Oh, Lord God, we anchor our souls, we anchor our future, we anchor our hopes in who you are, in your unshakable character. Your steadfast love is great toward us. Your faithfulness endures forever. Father, would you gather the nations through your church? Stir up your church. Stir up the hearts of your people, O Lord, not for self-indulgence and selfishness and self-service, but to bring the gospel to the nations, to be a Great Commission church, to call all nations and all peoples to the gospel. There are no closed nations in this world. There are only nations where it's harder and more costly to proclaim the gospel. But your gospel is to be proclaimed under every nation, under every tongue under heaven. And so, Father, would you stir up our hearts toward that end? Would you stir up your church toward that end? Father, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified. Spirit, be glorified through your church and through the gospel forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for joining me again this morning. Looking forward to worship on Sunday morning as we gather together and worship him. 10 o'clock, we will be one more time at the Newport Terrace building. That's the Knights of Columbus building on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. You can go to our website, foresthillpca.org, or to our Facebook page to get directions. I hope to see you there if you're in the Harford County area. If not, I hope to see you back here on Monday morning as we resume with Psalms in the morning next week. May the Lord bless you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.